another episode of How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm Madison, and in today's episode, Josh, Sarah, and I discuss professional development and why you should do it for yourself and for your employees.
Greetings, everybody. This is Josh Brown with the SBDC office here in Chattanooga. Today, we're going to be talking about professional development as we look at business and COVID, post-COVID. We're kind of taking a look at what are some things that are going to be really critical to any business owner. And today, we're going to talk professional development. Thought it'd be great to have a quick roundtable to think about some issues related to education and professional development. So, Sarah, I'm going to start with you and kind of get your sense of what professional development means to you.
To me, it means being a lifelong learner. What steps are you taking to make sure you're staying innovative and staying up to date on new topics, and what new skills are you developing to further your career ultimately or be better at the career that you're at? No one knows everything, and so there's always room to grow. So professional development is pursuing that growth constantly.
Good point. Madison?
To echo that a little bit with innovation, there are a lot of things that I'm interested in and a lot of things that I know a little bit about. And so I use professional development to just
dabble,
strengthen my skills and learn more.
For me, it's when I came in as a counselor, I had lots of experience in the private sector and in sales and in operations. And I just felt like I knew all that stuff. But I felt like when I started coaching and counseling, it's, oh gosh, I don't know all the things I don't know. And they start asking me questions about human resources or licensing or taxes. And I'm like, holy cow, I don't know any of that.
You don't know it all?
I'd like to think I do half the time, but most of the time I don't. But when we talk about professional development, for me, it's that opportunity to separate myself from the day-to-day and going, all right, how do I be better at Instagram? Or how do I get better at talking through exporting and all of those things? And we are blessed to have that opportunity that we can take time and learn and develop our skills. And I think, how does that translate to our clients who are business owners? Sarah, you said, you know, I'm constantly wanting to learn some things and how I learned to do something. And you brought up a point about Googling it. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've always been a very naturally curious person. And so I just love to research things. I always want to know the why, the how, the what, the history behind something, how to do something. So I think having that curiosity can help maybe kind of guide you into what you should be developing. If I notice someone doing something really well, I want to know how they're doing it. What tools are they using? So I might Google how to have a killer Instagram or something like that. Like, it's just a start. It's by no means like maybe the best path of professional development, but it's at least a start to just dabble in things, to use that word again.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I tend to YouTube things.
Yes.
I'm more of a visual learner.
That's a good point that people have different learning styles.
And the three of us can all agree that rather than waiting for someone to show us how to do something, complaining it doesn't work, we want to jump in and try and figure it out first.
That's a great point because I think business owners need to have that curiosity and they need to have that resourcefulness to be able to know, just to dive in, figure it out. If you don't know, guess what? You don't necessarily have to outsource it or think that you can't do it or think that your employees can't do it. Research it yourself, be resourceful, find some tools. So I'm excited to dive into some of the tools outside of Google and YouTube.
Clients are using QuickBooks.
Yeah.
And they can't figure out why it's broken or why it's not working. The question is, have they
Googled it?
Well, have you Googled it or have you gone to their libraries and their videos? You know, they're constantly updating that stuff because they want to make their tool easy to use. So you keep using them as opposed to dumping them for something else.
They have a tremendous amount of how-to guides that I'm pretty well-versed in QuickBooks, but probably every time I get into something a little deep, I have to watch YouTube videos. I have to follow their guides, read forums.
Yes.
It's about being resourceful.
So we've talked about using YouTube and Google. We've talked about using sites' own libraries. And I kind of want to jump in and in addition to those sites, when you're looking for professional developments, stuff like Coursera or TED-Ed, you know, there's TED Talks that are out there constantly about what are we doing for motivation? What are we doing for good leadership skills? But a lot of our clients don't necessarily know, where do I go for professional development?
Like myself, technical skills.
Technical skills or even some soft skills stuff.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like when you guys are looking for what, how you improve yourself, you know, we are fortunate that each year we get professional development through our national conference. And I would argue that's something that we should recommend for our clients. Mm-hmm. What professional groups are you part of? You know, Madison, we were talking earlier about how you're part of a group here in the building. Talk about that, the marketing people.
Oh, sure. So there's a monthly meetup that I'm a part of, and it's just for people who have businesses here in the building or organizations. It organically came to be because someone on the building's Slack channel mentioned, hey, I do marketing and I'd love to, you know, pick some brains. And a few people said, hey, I want to, if you guys are meeting, I want to meet too.
Everybody's tired of living in their little island that's their business. They want to get some best practices.
Well, and other people's brains are a great resource. You know, everyone has different perspectives, different things that they've already experienced or skills that they developed. And that just kind of triggered a thought in my head, like one great way to kind of stay fresh of these new ideas, besides like actual meetup groups or Facebook groups, a lot of times people will just organically have these conversations, or someone will ask a question on maybe a marketing group on Facebook or something, and they'll say, what kind of email drip campaigns are you using? And if you're following that group, you're like, what's an email drip campaign? And then you learn kind of from other, picking other people's brains. So that can be a great way to kind of keep yourself at the top of your game.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but I am in a Facebook group where I think it's called Boost with Facebook. And it's just a group of marketing employees or businesses, and if they have a question about that specific platform, then they pose the question and usually they get 100 responses.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great resource and it's global virtually.
We were talking earlier about the chamber, yeah. YPC.
Young Professionals of Chattanooga. Yeah. So they also do a monthly lunch and learn, and then they also do a monthly after hours event that's more casual and just networking, but their lunch and learn is actual professional development geared towards people who are under the age of 40, I believe, or maybe 35.
And there's other industry specific groups like that in town. I don't want to quote the names, but I know there's one for like graphic designers and HR.
Yeah, there's a SHRM, yeah. There's Chattanooga Regional Manufacturers.
Yes. Yeah.
It's important to become connected with professional organizations.
Yeah. So basically using network to grow your professional development.
So we've covered the importance of professional development, particularly as it relates to being part of local organizations or
doing your own research,
giving yourself that time. And I want to make sure that we're emphasizing, as a business owner, this is a capital commitment. It's capital in funding and it's capital in time, that you're budgeting the time to really step aside from your day to day and give yourself that permission to.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
The permission of just give yourself those 2 hours.
This is still productive.
Right.
And as a deeper investment in yourself than whatever is on fire that day.
You know, that is the repetitive theme I hear from my clients is, I just have a fire burning and I put it out and the next fire is burning and I'm putting that out. And to a degree, I'm a firm believer that if you're building some of your core competencies and your core skills on whether it's managing people, managing production, managing sales, a lot of what would be a forest fire just becomes a little smoke that you can put out with a little water if you take some time to learn and better prepare for what you're doing. But that actually segues us into, okay, so we've talked about professional development for yourself, but just as importantly, professional development for your employees. And I'm going to jump over to ask both of you guys what your thoughts are on professional development for your employees.
I think they should absolutely build it in almost to the job description, like your job is going to be these tasks, but also we expect you to develop. We want you to cross-train, which ultimately just helps the company. That's to the company's benefit to have cross-trained employees. And we're going to give you the time to do it. Not just supportive, but allow the space and funding for it as well.
recently I asked our boss if I could take a few days to take the QuickBooks certification exam, and I cannot express how valued I felt whenever Lynn was like, oh, this isn't even a question. This is something you want to do and it's professional development. Go for it. And, you know, no one on the team will bother you for those 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. One thing, too, that small business owners can do, this is something that we did in our business, is we carved out every Friday morning like a team meeting, and we would do trainings in that meeting or talk about how to do a specific task that would benefit everyone. So you can kind of carve out these times. When I worked at corporate America, we had in-service trainings, but it's important. Small business owners need to do that stuff as well.
I was getting ready for this discussion. I went into Entrepreneur Magazine, and there was a checklist that they were kind of putting in place as advice for small business owners. One, consulting employees about their development needs. It should be a two-way discussion about what they feel like they need, not just what we think they should need.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, form partnerships with other companies and industry speakers. Number three, use technology to your advantage.
So now you can do everything virtually and online. You don't necessarily have to go to a QuickBooks conference to get your training.
Exactly.
So we talked about YouTube, Google, TED-Ed, Coursera. You use Skillshare, Madison. What types of courses have you taken on that?
Well, they have a really wide variety of things, very soft skill, but also technical trainings. So I've used it for if there's been actual programs like Adobe products.
Oh.
And they'll have like an hour long course and they dive deep into it.
Okay.
And also the soft skills. They'll teach you about like mindfulness and planning your calendar effectively, things like
that. That's great.
And the thing that I love about Skillshare is that it's subscription based. It's not like you pay for an individual class.
Oh.
You pay like a monthly fee and it's very nominal. I think it's like $10 a month.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more.
And that could be a great benefit for employers to offer their employees.
Oh, yeah. Like if you just buy a business subscription and then maybe you have to create multiple profiles or whatever. But I'm sure there's a discount if you have a business profile. I don't really know.
You could probably even create like a library of certain content you want your employees to take during their orientation period. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I looked into it for us to use.
Yeah.
And you can see which employees have completed the training through their platform.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And I think how long they attended or something like that.
It's kind of like I have a friend that works for Dave Ramsey Solutions, and he has a required reading list that within your first 90 days of employment or something, you have to read these business books.
That's great.
Yeah. So you could kind of build it into your orientation training process of these ones you have to take in the beginning. A lot of them could be soft skills, team, how to work as a team or whatever. Mm-hmm. I love that idea.
We talk about young adults coming out of college, going into the workplace. And candidly for me, I remember when I finished my college degree, I'm like, I'm ready to go slay the world. And then I started my job and I realized how unprepared I was for real life.
I don't have
life.
The skills to slay the world. Yeah. I'm being slayed.
I'm going to need a bigger sword. Yeah. So it's important. Those are great points. And I also want to jump in and say, you know, that LinkedIn used to have Lynda, which was their subscription-based learning
service. They don't anymore?
It's now called Navigator.
Oh.
And effectively, it's that opportunity, as you said, where you're paying by subscription. It gives you access to just such a wide variety of content that's constantly curated. It's constantly updated. So if you're needing skills on working in an office environment or a Microsoft Office environment, they've updated those things. And that way you're constantly getting it. And the very important part to that too is you have access to it when it's convenient for you, not when it's a live class that you have to show up between 12 and 1 next Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you're sitting down at home with a glass of something and you got your feet up and you want to get your latest on leadership skills or something like that.
Yeah. So, on your own time. Ideally on your company's time though.
A combination of both too.
Yeah.
And we have access to some lists. If you want to reach out to your small business counselor, I've curated some lists that I'm happy to share with my clients about various sources where they can get that stuff. But you brought up a comment earlier that I do want to emphasize to the business owner. It's not just a nice thing to provide professional development for your employees. I did a separate list about what the value is to employers for doing professional development. Number one, it creates loyalty.
Yeah.
You're going to keep them a whole lot longer if they feel a sense of that you've committed to them as well. There's tax deductibility. So when you're paying for professional development classes.
Or seminars, conferences.
For sure.
Travel.
Yep. And depending on what you're doing, for example, there is monies that are available to reimburse owners for employee training, like incumbent worker training. Specifically.
What's that mean?
Well, like for example, over at Chattanooga State Community College in Workforce Development, employers can put their employees through classes, whether it's English as a second language or you're up training, like let's say you have a manufacturing job, but you're wanting to train some of your line staff to become supervisory level as manufacturing techs or manufacturing managers, they can then receive focus training that is credited. And there is grant monies that are out there to help reimburse the employer for up to 50% of those training costs. So if you're looking at what am I going to do to uptrain my employees, and I'm now at that 20, 30 employee range, and I'm trying to bring my people's skills up, there are those opportunities that are out there.
That's awesome.
Next one is create an internal mentorship program.
Well, yeah, I like that.
And I can only emphasize where I've done it in the past and the skills I've developed as a salesperson. Boy, I sure did steal a whole lot of good practices from others that they sold their widget. I want to figure out how to sell my widget just as well.
And to small business owners can, maybe it's a very small company and a mentorship sounds too formal, but you could have a more experienced employee, give them an extra job title, maybe even a dollar an hour raise or something, and make them a trainer so that they are, and that, you know, they've earned that spot. They've been there for years. It shows that you value their work and their knowledge that they've accumulated. And it takes that off your plate as a business owner to do all the training yourself. So it's kind of a win-win-win.
Absolutely.
Plus, it gives a clear, I guess, like chain of command. If a new employee has a question, this is exactly who you go to. So then they're not asking other employees who, you know, they may have just been there 3 months longer or however long.
Yeah.
Next one is start an ongoing lunch and learn program.
Yeah, you know, kind of what you're talking about with in-services or staff meetings.
And last but not least, encourage active participation. Someone taught me a long time ago, you need to train someone that will take your job away from you.
Yeah, man, that's a dream.
And to me, it's if we're trusting our employees and creating that kind of mutually beneficial relationship where you are being very cognitive about giving them these additional responsibilities, you're compensating them accordingly, but it's setting up that level of trust that should then free you up as a business owner to say, all right, I don't have to worry about hiring anymore or interviewing or production. Now I can think about strategic things like, how am I going to take my business from 200 stores that I'm selling at to 2,000 stores?
Or do my own professional development with those extra hours, not just strategic planning. So another kind of soapbox I'd like to get on is, again, cross-training, letting employees cross-train and why that's actually not a nice-to-have. That's really a must-have because it frees up those employees to be able to take uninterrupted vacations and paid time off that they need. I have some friends that work for some corporations and there's no cross training. There's no backup person. And they are guilted out of ever taking time off, even when they're genuinely ill or they have a family matter to take care of. And they literally cannot take off.
Yeah. And guess what? Eventually they'll take off permanently.
Right. So cross training is an absolute must. And it helps you, the business owner, you're not freaking out if someone calls in sick or has a true emergency and there's no one to fill that job for the day. Like, that's on you. And I've seen it too in my corporate experience where when you cross train employees, they're exposed to other things and they realize they have a skill that they had not been exposed to it. And they're like, wow, I love doing this part of it. And then you can help support them in a career going down that path or the exposure helps, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Exposing them to like different types of jobs so that everyone can grow and be happy.
What it may
in the right all, spot.
That's a really good point, because what it may do is, as a business owner, you may recognize that while you think they have a skill set to do this, by going through training and mentorship and cross training, you may actually find their expertise is in other areas.
I mean, that's kind of how I found my love of business. I never intended for it. I stumbled into it essentially and was like, whoa, like I found it. I found something I'm great at, something I feel comfortable with and that I'm passionate about and I can't get enough of it. I want to learn more and more and more. So long story short, that's kind of the beauty of cross training and allowing your employees to have exposure to new skills.
Mm-hmm. Like podcasting.
Like podcasting.
I never thought that we would be doing a podcast, but here we are.
Here we are.
I do want to throw in one more point, though, as we talk about professional development for employees on a workforce perspective. It's become abundantly clear that everybody's struggling to find that right employee to fill a niche, whether it's production or waiters or whatever the case may be. And Sarah made a good point to me when we were planning this a little while back. Maybe you have the right candidate, but they don't have the right skills or have all of the skills. And maybe it's worth that investment in hiring them anyway and doing some really focused upfront training to help give them the skills so you'll have a better rounded employee.
Yeah. I keep seeing a lot of memes. They're kind of mocking the older generation employers who are like, we want you to have all these qualifications and speak five languages and do this and this and this. And we're going to pay you 10
level
entry level position. We require five languages and all these softwares that, you know, and the pay is $10 an hour. And it's like, that's so messed up, like, and wrong, and not, you'll never find that employee. So there's this movement of like, you really should hire people based on their work ethic, based on other things, and then assume the responsibility to teach them some of those skills.
That's good stuff. So we've covered, I think, very well hiring and not just hiring, but talking about professional development as it relates to us as business owners and constantly thinking about what are we doing to make ourselves better as a business owner and growing our business, as well as our most important assets, which are our employees, and how we develop them as well. I will leave you with just a thought on a personal level with professional development. When I had my sales team, I would set quarterly professional development goals with them. They would tell me what they wanted to do, and I would hold them responsible, just like I held them responsible to achieve revenue goals.
Whether or not it related to their specific job?
I would like that there were skills that could tie back to professionally, whether it's they understand the product better and they maybe get in and spend some time on the manufacturing side, or they're getting out and they're understanding selling skills or
management skills even. Or
correct. And it really made it one of those two-way streets when we're doing our quarterly reviews was, all right, I have these revenue goals and sales goals I want you to achieve. What have you done for yourself professionally? Because I want to see you constantly grow. So I kind of want to leave business owners with that. What are you doing to improve yourself? And what are you doing to raise your team so it isn't just you helping the business for the sake of the business? So
yeah. I did want to talk about really quick just some recommended ways that business owners, because we get this question a lot from our clients, what are ways that they can grow and learn and professionally develop themselves? So some topics we kind of threw out were reading. A lot of us, we're all big readers.
Yeah.
A lot of the book recommendations I get come from my clients. A lot of book recommendations I get as far as business books come from business books that will mention another business book. And then I end up going down this long, like, thread of recommended business books. But so ask around other business owners. This is, again, where networking groups can come in handy. You don't have to be a formal book club, but if you know another business owner, like, hey, what are some of your favorite business books that you've read?
Just like we did with story branding.
Yeah. And same is true with podcast. So if you are commuting or you're in a position where you like, or you like listening to audio, there's some incredible podcasts out there related to business and business growth. So that just takes maybe 20 to 40 minutes of your time here and there. So you can take it in smaller snippets.
Yeah, and the platforms where you get your podcast or where you buy your books, they provide related recommendations. Oh, yeah. Or on Goodreads, Storygraph, those types of platforms. If you're looking books up, it'll say, oh, if you like this book, you might like this book.
Yeah, and I have found a lot of my favorite business books have podcasts. So it's like a nice accompaniment, and also to help you remember that methodology or whatever it was that book was about, that you can dive deeper if you really liked that book.
Oh,
if you want more.
Audiobooks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I can't let this topic pass without saying audiobooks. I'm a big book reader.
Yeah. Listener. And it's book listener, you mean?
Reader and listener.
Some other things we mentioned were like kind of more formal. Outside of like having to get an MBA, there are programs out there for business owners where you can kind of get accelerated, high-level business owner training.
That's a great point. Like, for example, Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
And there's one at University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, that's for veterans, the Veterans Entrepreneurship Program. And what it really does is forces you as a business owner to step outside your business and hang out with a bunch of other folks that are trying to take their business to the next level.
It's almost like business camp.
It's exactly what it is. It's business camp, but you get to be surrounded with people that are as passionate as you are about whatever their thing is. And it's so useful.
Kind of like Colab's accelerator programs.
Not just Colab, but there's a lot of accelerator programs out there. So business owners need to carve out that time.
Right.
Find some of these opportunities, and also attending industry specific events and conferences. That's a little more old school, but we go to conference every year. That's where we do a lot of our professional development and networking with our industry, and also learning about vendors and other third party people that are out there. So tap into whatever industry you are. There's some on the local level, like you mentioned, the Regional Manufacturers Association, who we would mention Lunch and Learns. That's a good example of an organization that does Lunch and Learns. But also on a national level, see what your trade associations are, what conferences they have, and get professional development that way too.
It's all good stuff. Ladies, thank you so very much for your time. I found this, as usual, amazing to be able to work with you guys and share some knowledge.
Thanks for listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts.